What is up, Janelle?
Hey, Bronzy.
How are you?
I am really good.
You're really good.
A little change from previous episodes, right? No, I'm
It's normally like very mid. Like, I'm all right. Yeah. But now you're
feeling
really
free.
Good.
I'm feeling light, you know?
Oh, that's always a good feeling.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm feeling good. I think coming down to the end of the year, talking to family and friends about holidays and parties and things like that is giving my brain a different area to, you know, focus on and have some excitement.
For sure.
So that's feeling really good. And then also just thinking about what the new year holds, not getting too far deep into that, but knowing that that season is upon us. So I feel pretty good.
Good. I'm planning to travel a bit, obviously.
I don't care. You always planning to travel.
Every time
we do these intros to the segment, Janelle just traveled, is planning to travel, just came back, or is not here. So I think
I'm here now. Let's enjoy the time.
I think at this point it's kind of like a given. Don't do that. I'm here now. Let's enjoy the time. But yeah, you're always planning to travel. I'm planning to travel too, so.
I hear. Where are you going?
I'm going to Mexico. I mean, like at all the black.
Like every black person with a passport.
Exactly.
Cute. Where in Mexico? Do you care to disclose?
I don't even know. Cancun? I think I'm going to Cancun this time.
You just think maybe that's where you'll end up.
I mean, you go to one. I'm not going to Mexico City. I know that much. I know that's like one of your favorite destinations.
It's up there.
But yeah, I haven't traveled on, you know, like a vacation all year. So yeah, I need it.
No,
I need some time away. So
you do. Enjoy.
That's. Yeah, so that's what's happening. My little travel happening, coming up.
I'm just going home. I'm just going to Miami. Nothing crazy.
That's always a good time, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're back. Episode 35.
35.
Yeah. I guess we can hop right into Above the Fold.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
So first, I don't know if you saw, but McDonald's announced another partnership. We saw Travis Scott. We saw Saweetie. Now they got Mariah Carey. This one looks a little bit different. I don't think it's like just one like Mariah meal. I think it's actually going to be a couple of drops. It's like a 12 days of Christmas type drop with her.
That's
and like
fitting.
There might be like a new menu item every day for the 12 days that you can get in the app when you order through the app.
Of course, there has to be a tie-in.
Of course. And I thought it was actually an unexpected but still smart collab because there is evidence of her being a McDonald's fan, though you might not think that on the surface. There are pictures of her like digging into a Big Mac and all of this kind of stuff. And then even some of the assets that they dropped on social I thought were interesting. So every year, of course, everybody knows that Christmas is Mariah Carey season, right? All I Want for Christmas Is You. And there was like the meme over the past couple years about how after Christmas
she's out.
She just kind of like ascends back into the ocean only to be seen again next Christmas. And so kind of the hero image of the campaign is her coming out of the water with the McDonald's like logo in the background or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a very kind of smart social play for it. But yeah, super cute. Can't wait to see what the 12 drops are. I don't know if they're going to be food menu items, if there's going to be merch attached to it. You know, if your meal comes with a glass of champagne, that seems fitting, but that's just me.
I've seen the tweets of people like replying and responding to this, and they're like, "Yo, McDonald's blew the whole budget on this campaign to secure Mariah Carey
to
do this because you think you know this is her season, and just she don't got to sing it. She technically doesn't have to sing a note during this season. Just
she
like
she don't have to get out of bed. So imagine what they drop.
Exactly. And this is just adding to it. Like, yeah, I'll go ahead and entertain y'all for this little whatever y'all want to do. But yeah, at first I was thinking this is very different than the Travis Scott, very different than the Saweetie. But I think with the notion of the 12 days of Christmas or the 12 menu items, however they did that, I like that tie into make it more authentic to her. Mm-hmm. Also, I did not know that she was a fan or that there was evidence of her liking McDonald's. So
I'm going to pull the image, but there's definitely like her in front of a tray of like burgers and fries with like the biggest smile on her face back in the day.
Got you. So, that makes sense. Yeah. Because initially I was like, I don't feel like it's authentic.
Yeah. And I think that like that's kind of been the running thing with all of the partnerships that they've done is like there has been evidence that these people are fans of the brand. And therefore, you know, the hope is that.
So does that mean like we should start eating and taking photos so that there's evidence if ever in the future there's an opportunity for brands and stuff to come to us and be like, they're fans. Okay, so
we'll start doing that with the wine. Just put the wine up there. The wine bottle.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe we can get
I think we should do that. You're always hip to black.
I don't know. We gotta tread lightly though, because we just don't give them the free promo, or do we turn the bottle? And if you know, I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
We'll talk off
mic. I mean, Janelle's a wine connoisseur, but I do think that this is fitting. So is this something that McDonald's is going to continue to do with
this like celeb meal thing? I don't see any signs of it slowing down. I don't know though. Who knows?
I wonder who's next. We should start trying to guess.
Take a guess. Who's next?
Why would you put me on the spot like this? It doesn't work that way. I don't know. It'll come to me for the end of the episode.
Maybe we'll take an educated guess next episode after we are able to run the numbers a bit.
Yeah, let me analyze. Gather some data.
Yes. Want to move us on to the next one?
Yeah, I'll move us on to the next one. There was this video. What do we call this? This video that dropped for Off-White and the Jordan brand. And it was nice.
Yeah. Okay, so if anybody follows kind of like sneaker drops and things like that, of course we all know that Virgil has a relationship with Nike. Nike and Jordan are like the same thing, whatever. So he just dropped a Jordan 2 in two colorways.
I'm so upset.
Yeah, probably impossible to get your hands on, like most Off-White drops.
But I never get the sneaker app drops when I go
through
there.
Oh, and you still trying it?
So that's just like a thing that you just don't do anymore.
I mean, unless I purposely feel like being upset for the day.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I must always feel like being upset.
I think I've gotten something on a sneaker drop once.
I've gotten something once, but the only reason I got it is because nobody else wanted it. So I was like, I was hyped thinking like, oh, I got them. You know, got them posting it.
No, I got
them. And they were still available.
The first time I ever tried to use the app, it was, a pretty sought after shoe. I got it. But I think that's how they get you. It's like, okay, when you first enter and we know like this is your first time, we're going to get you. And then like you're never going to get anything else. But because you already got that one hit of success, you're going to keep coming back.
That's so...
Because you just can't compete with the bots and all that. You know, these kids and these little tech... evil geniuses, you know, at home in their mom's basement. Like, you're not going to beat them.
On 30 devices.
Right, exactly. They dropped this Jordan 2. And then with it, they dropped this, I don't even know how long the video was. A pretty, relatively short video. I think Taylor Rooks was featured in it and some other folk. I mean, it was a cute piece of content, right? Yeah, that's not a trick question.
No, yeah, I agree with you, but I had a follow-up. I was going to ask, is that okay? Should there be more? It's fine just
to
post. Do
they need more? No? We just talked about the fact that you can't get the sneaker on the sneaker app. Do they need more? Did they even need to do that?
They didn't need to do that.
I haven't seen them do anything above and
beyond
for anything
else. Blind faith or something like that?
It was called, drumroll please.
Yes, it was called Blind Faith.
Thank you, production.
Oh, yes, that's what it was. So if you haven't had a chance to look at it, take a look at it. Let us know your thoughts. It was nice. I thought it was nice. That's why I said it was nice. I didn't really...
Got it. Noted.
All right, yeah. So,
to the next point, though. Well, no, one last thing before we jump. I thought what was most interesting about that content piece was the choice of Taylor Rooks. I'm like, she's not necessarily known for being like an actor or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, she's a sports commentator. So I think that it was just fun seeing her in a different context. So I'll give them that.
I'll give them that.
And like, shout out to her. Good look.
I'll give them that too. Yeah.
Good look.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So did you see though the Lil Nas X's latest, I guess, like marketing campaign,
yes,
marketing stunt?
Yes.
What did you think about it?
Absolutely genius.
Well, let me give a little bit of context.
Phenomenal.
A trailer dropped for the show Maury. We all know Maury. You know, if you've ever been sick when you were growing up, sick at home, stayed with your grandparents, exactly, stayed at home with your grandma. You watched Maury, you drank some Gatorade,
ginger
and ate
ale.
ginger ale, and you ate some saltine crackers while you watched people run, yes, like track athletes behind the scenes of Maury, right? So a trailer dropped of kind of like a fake episode featuring Lil Nas X in this love triangle, and I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, so there was a child had.
Yes, even though I don't know that they're arguing over his child. And if you look at the clip, it seems like there's, right, somebody else's kid.
Okay, cool. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But when you initially texted it to me, you was like, because we have talked about Lil Nas X on the episodes previously, and you said, I don't know who it is, but somebody over there is a marketing genius. Somebody is pushing it, and it just keeps being produced.
Yeah, because this wasn't a parody of the Maury show. It was Maury on his set.
Shot on the set of Maury.
Exactly.
Shot like an episode would be shot.
Exactly. I'm like, it had all the hallmarks of like a good Maury episode. It was like Lil Nas X taking off backstage, mm-hmm, with the camera, you know, keeping up with him. It was somebody getting down and proposing. There was a baby
special
involved.
Special guest coming out. Special like guest. Somebody that you didn't know was there. It was all of the parts that make up Maury.
Yeah. And it said that the episode, like if this is not just a trailer, if there is an actual episode, will be dropping on the 18th. So.
Yeah. I'm absolutely enjoying the presence of Lil Nas X and what he's bringing to the culture right now. It's very disruptive, which you always need that.
And he looks like he's having fun.
He is having fun. He's having a blast.
Yeah.
And it's authentic. I feel like it's an extension of who he was even before. He was
a barb.
This artist.
He was a barb. And everything that he has done since he made a name for himself has been very barb-like.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like you were mentioning in previous episodes, we had this whole conversation around like when he dropped his album, people were calling him a marketing genius. Mm-hmm. And do we throw that term around too loosely? So when I sent that text to you, it's like, you know, whether it's him, whether it's somebody on his team, somebody over there,
I think
deserves that kind of title and that crown as marketing genius.
Because who thinks of this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah. I guess jumping kind of back into the Nike world of things. It was announced recently that LeBron James, kind of the brand, the King James brand, mm-hmm, that's a subsidiary of Nike, has partnered with FAMU for their men's and women's basketball jerseys. So this will be the first time that like a Black-owned brand will be featured on the jerseys of a collegiate athletic team. So clap it up for him, right? And we love an HBCU getting some love, right? So mm-hmm, clap it up for FAMU. But yeah, I thought that was a really cool partnership. Also very interesting because Jerry Lorenzo went to FAMU, right? Jerry Lorenzo, mm-hmm, used to have a partnership with Nike. Now he works with Adidas in their basketball department. Like he's like creative director of like of basketball. So I'm like, ooh. Even though he played baseball at FAM, but he runs the basketball department at Adidas. So I'm like, I wonder if there was like a bidding war there. You know, I'm sure he tried to do something because one of his last Nike drops, the colorways were FAMU's colors, and he went and shot it at FAM with FAMU athletes and stuff like that.
Wait. So. At Nike?
At Nike. when he was still
when he was still
when
Nike.
He was still at Nike.
Okay, that makes sense. But I was going to say, since he's with Adidas, I feel like FAMU already has Nike contracts in place.
Probably.
So probably couldn't really do much bidding there. But back to the LeBron James thing. I think at this point, LeBron, the things and the moves that he's making, I guess, which I'm not about to say anything that's like mind blowing, but he's doing things that are very much so centered around his legacy more than like the present moment. And I wonder, like, the question that comes in mind is, with a Nike, a brand that is Nike, and then LeBron, like his crown, his logo, I think it's called, is it called Interrupted? Uninterrupted? Something.
I think his Nike brand is just like King James.
Yeah, King James. So why wouldn't they just continue with the Nike check? Why add this?
Because if I'm LeBron James, additional, I want my shit on it.
I get that, but I'm saying, why not put his stuff on any other jerseys? You know what I mean? I'm saying, why put LeBron James's crown, the extension of Nike, on just this one?
Oh, just FAMU's?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Opposed to Jordan, or opposed to any of the other extensions they have. Like, what made them decide that this was the right time, the right school to do that for?
I don't know. That is a good question, because it's like, okay, well, you have partnerships with other schools, other HBCUs. Mm-hmm. So, like, how did you determine that this was LeBron's?
Yeah, I mean, I'm here for it. I really like it. I enjoy it. Yeah, I think we're just, like, delivering the news that it happened. But the question that comes to mind is...
And I would say, even in, like, while the more prominent logo on the actual jerseys is that of... like the King James brand, on a lot of the images and stuff, it has Nike, it has the FAMU like Rattler logo and the King James logo.
Yeah.
On it. So I don't know, maybe there is a Nike check somewhere on the jersey that's just like not as prominent as the like upper chest.
Probably on the tag. Like, yeah, so just tag. So y'all know.
Like, don't forget. You know, really I'll be pulling the strings.
But yeah. Good for LeBron.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what else comes of that.
Do you know where his sons go to school?
In LA somewhere.
Oh, they know.
I can't think of the name of the school, like Foothills Christian or some shit like that.
Okay. Cool. You want to move to the next one?
You got it.
All right. So, Chloe Bailey.
What?
I'm about to bring
okay,
in
the, you just,
Chloe
you
Bailey.
Gonna, okay, go ahead.
Is the next subject. And her partnership with Hulu. I don't know if you saw the commercial that dropped with Hulu.
I saw it. You sent it to me.
It was cool.
It's cute.
No, I think that...
It was cute, and I thought that it was...
Wait.
Oh, okay. Wait. Okay, you keep taking these long, dramatic pauses.
Because you got me drinking this wine. Hush up, Bobby.
It's my fault.
Go ahead. What were you about to say?
Oh, I was going to say, it's cute because I feel like we have not seen a lot of brand partnerships between her and her sister. But I feel like they're at that point where, like, they should be, and coming up under... the Beyonce, like, you know, kind of like.
I think they did a couple. They did the one with, was it Neutrogena?
Vaguely remember talking about that. Okay.
Yeah, and then they had something with Tiffany's for a short spat there.
I didn't see that.
Am I tripping? I might be tripping.
I don't think they did.
I think it was very small. Like, they used them more so as influencers.
Like, they had, not like a promo code or something.
Yeah, something like that. But I think it's, you know, Chloe, she's a multifaceted artist when it comes, like, she's an actress, she's a producer, she's a songwriter, she's a performer, and she's a singer.
You got that press release, huh?
I really like her as an artist. Like,
I do
when
too.
I really like both
of them as artists.
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying you didn't like her in this Hulu ad?
No, I liked it. I think it was cool. No, I'm not saying that at all. Is that what was coming across?
I don't know. You kept like emphasizing the artist part of things, and I'm like, okay, but what about her as a brand and like trying to branch out? Were you feeling it or no?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was a cute, it was a little 15, 30 second spot. It was,
yeah, it was
cute
very
for
small.
What it was.
I'm saying she got to flex her acting in a space. Like, if you don't follow her, you wouldn't see her. So, like, for a Hulu commercial to use Chloe Bailey, Hulu is a big brand. And I think as she's continuing to rise.
Like, her proximity to Beyonce, her being on one of them ishes, grownish. Like, I think that she's been in a lot of pitch decks.
Okay.
I don't think anybody did her any favors putting her in this campaign.
That is fair. Okay. So, since you said that, recently, which is now in a post that has been deleted, you know, she's...
Rightfully so.
You know, if you've seen it, you've seen it. I don't really have to explain what it was. The question comes because of all what you just said, like her proximity to Beyonce, her being in these spaces that gets lots of attention. Kind of like, what is she doing?
You know what? I think what it is she's trying to find herself, right? Like, we first learned about Chloe and Halle on YouTube, you know, locks were like up to here. They were singing Beyonce cover songs and like, maybe you see it, maybe you don't. They went viral, whatever, and the rest is history. Since then, I don't know how old she was when all of that was going on. Yeah. Now she's 22 years old, 23. She's been away from her sister's been doing her own thing, and you know, she's trying to find her voice as a
independent.
Yeah, as an independent, as a solo artist, potentially. I think she's like trying to reinforce that she's not a child anymore. And sometimes you over-rotate.
Okay.
I think we've seen it with a lot of people. Like, I think a lot of times when we're seeing that transition from like child actor or child entertainer to like adult, it's more on the like, I can more readily think of guys that made that transition. And a lot of them have kind of faltered, you know, so I don't think she's done anything crazy to the point where it's just like, you know, you about to get canceled or anything like that. But like, she has done a few things that have been a bit cringe. Mm-hmm. And I think that the fact that that video was taken down is probably somebody telling her like, not as good of a look as you thought it was.
See, I appreciate that context.
I think she's just trying to she's trying to make that step. She's trying not to be looked at as a kid. You know, she's on this show where she's playing a college kid, and she's coming from being on YouTube where we all know her as a kid, and she's like one of the kids that Beyonce has mentored.
So I
think that she, you know, she's ready to be seen as an adult, and she might have just kind of like, you know, she just got the training wheels off and she's like trying to book it.
Perfect. I don't got nothing else to say to that. That was great. Like, I feel like those were kind of like the thoughts that were trying to form, but didn't quite come together for me. But
Because I will say I saw it and I was just like, ooh, but also you got to give these people some grace. Like,
yeah.
Growing up in front of the public eye, I'm sure.
The world, literally.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Chloe, if you ever see this, I'm always rooting for you.
Yeah. We're gonna get it right.
Cool. So you want to stay in this vein?
What vein are we in?
Of talking about artists, Janelle.
Okay, yeah.
Come on,
sure.
Stick with me.
Sure.
We've talked about Travis Scott a lot on the podcast.
A whole lot.
And we talked about him not considering himself to like marketing and branding.
Right. I think he just doesn't like that. He doesn't like language, but he's okay. Yes. We talked about it.
We talked about him and his McDonald's partnership as like one of the first that we started to talk about. Anyway, I'm saying all that. I don't know why. What recently happened at the Astroworld was a festival. Unfortunately, lives were lost. And at this point in the media, you're seeing a lot of like, oh, he should have stopped it. This is his fault. I think at this point, there's been like 100 or so lawsuits that have been put out against him. And there's just like this blame game going around, like who is to blame? You know, he has like a following that is very much like a cult following that is very much you know, whatever he says do, I'm going to do. I go to his concerts, have a good time. We're going to party. We're going to jump. We're going to lose our minds and lose control. And he promotes that type of energy.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, you know, instances of the crowd getting wild is not anything that's uncommon for him at his shows.
No, for sure.
So when something like this happens, how are we supposed to take it? How are we supposed to respond? And what does it do for his brand? Okay. It's the way she looked at me. She was like, what does it do for his brand?
So there are a couple of things here. I think that the conversation around Travis Scott post Astroworld tragedy is multi-layered, right?
Okay.
People are playing the blame game. I understand that because there are a lot of parties that are at fault in this situation. And I believe that Travis Scott is one of them.
Okay.
I don't think that he bears the sole responsibility, but he is definitely one of the responsible parties. Not to get into just, I think we all know what happened that day. Like, again, to your point, mm-hmm. like lives are lost, I believe at this point, 9 or so. But at previous shows, he has been known to kind of like rile up the crowd and encourage kind of reckless behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been bad outcomes before. You know, like, the, you know, I don't think that anyone has lost their life to, you know, to my recollection.
Right.
But someone has become paralyzed based off of his reckless behavior on stage. He has been arrested at Lollapalooza for inciting a riot after security told him you cannot tell people to rush the stage. And he got on stage and still told people to rush the stage. So it's, he knows the ramifications of his actions at this point. I also feel like there is this kind of culture, a new culture in hip hop with like these younger artists where their music kind of borders the line of like hip hop and rock a bit, mm-hmm. or at least the culture of rock. So yeah. It's like when I think of that, I think of like that rage culture. I think mm-hmm. of him. I think of like Lil Uzi.
Yeah. Okay.
Playboy Cardi to some extent, right? Where you go to a hip hop show and you're going to see moshing and things mm-hmm. like that, things that you might not necessarily associate with a hip hop show. But what's the difference between a Travis Scott show or any of these other guys' shows and like a rock show is that their following, well, for the most part, they're young, at least like Uzi and Cardi. Travis Scott ain't that young. He might appear young and his music might hit, his demo might be very young. Travis Scott is in his 30s, okay?
Okay.
He's in his 30s. Or 30.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that at a lot of these rock shows, there are rules to quote unquote raging. And I have seen, especially in the outcome of Astroworld, a lot of video circulating of artists in that sphere enforcing those rules. It's like, okay, we're going to mosh. We're going to have a good time. The rule is if, you know, yes. someone falls, you pick them up.
Yes.
If, you know, like you got to check on your neighbor, all this kind of stuff.
Yes.
It's easy to enforce those rules and to have those rules, enforce those rules and know that everybody around you understands those rules when you have a more mature audience. Now, we're talking about people, we're talking about kids as young as 9 were injured at Astroworld. We're talking about 14-year-olds, 16-year-olds. There are no rules. Travis Scott is not enforcing any rules, so much so that like an ambulance can pull up into the crowd, signifying that somebody is in distress, something is wrong,
okay.
and kids are jumping on top of this. That shows a lack of compassion in the audience, right? A lack of compassion for like your fellow festival goer that I feel like the behavior was reinforced, whether he wants to admit it or not, by the artist on stage.
Here's the thing. His spokesperson said that the idea that he could have stopped the show is ludicrous. I don't know a performer living that has not had control over their show and has not been able to stop the show for a moment to see what is happening. If they visualize that something is happening and that they need to, wait a minute, what's going on? We can start this track over. Like,
yeah, I'm like, not
they
only
said that there was a 59-page operation plan and only two people were able to stop the show, which was the executive producer and the content producer. That is straight
up. That's not true, because if he walked off the stage, the show would have been stopped. That's stopping the show. And it's his, not only was he just a performer, this was his thing, mm-hmm. right? So there was even more of a level of authority that he had in right. that moment. Now, again, he is not the sole person responsible here, right. like I said. Like, I think that they, as much as they claim they weren't, they were understaffed. It shows. Mm-hmm. Live Nation, I feel like, is part of the problem here, right? I'm pretty sure coming off of 2 years of a pandemic, not being able to throw this festival and losing money elsewhere with other shows, they were trying to squeeze as much as they could out of this opportunity.
Right.
And bad things happen.
Yeah.
So again, I think that there are multiple parties that were at fault here. And the fact that I hear like maybe nobody gave him the signal to you know, that to like no one was in his ear telling him to stop the show, but he can see something is going wrong and he didn't think to stop either. Even when he did pause and was just like, oh, get that person water, he's still humming through like the chorus of the song. Mm-hmm. Like the track never stopped. That's a problem.
It is a problem, especially like you said, with the context, knowing what he's been up against before in previous shows.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not his first time.
You were ignorant to the fact that something didn't feel right or wasn't going right. I think they said it had been like 30, 40 minutes since the first person like had passed before the show stopped.
That's wild to me. That's wild. That how does that happen? That cannot happen.
But I don't know if you've seen SZA was performing somewhere and there's been clips of her on Twitter stopping the show and asking like, oh, is she all right? Bring her up here. Bring her over here. Then she had a case of water and was giving it out to the audience. And people were like, okay, is SZA starting to be like, is this like a little bit performative just because of what happened?
Who gives a fuck if it was performative or not? Like, she was stopping, she was checking on people, she was giving out water. Like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If she didn't do that and someone got hurt, then we would be having the same conversation. I don't care. If you're helping people in the act of being performative, be performative.
Right.
I don't care. But yeah, so I think that. But ultimately, I do think that, you know, a lot of people are talking about, is his brand going to survive and all this kind of stuff?
Yes.
Yes, his brand is going to survive because this is America where we have already demonstrated that we don't give a fuck about human life, right? Like, this is, okay, we're going to get through this news cycle. Something else is going to happen. We're going to forget all about this. He's hopefully, or not hopefully, but like maybe somebody is smart enough in his ear to tell him to shut the fuck up, stop dropping these weird apology videos when he's faking like he's worried and then dropping promo codes for like better help and shit like that.
Because he wants to be part of the solution.
Right. Give it a couple months to a year and people are going to forget all about this and he's still going to be one of the top hip-hop artists out there. Whatever.
They took him off a couple events that he was scheduled to do and put Jack Harlow in his place and
Jack Harlow and Post Malone. It's just sad that like again eight people that night, but I think I think another person passed like in the hospital since then. People as young as 14 years old and kids as young as 9 still fighting for their life in the hospital over something that was completely preventable.
It's heartbreaking. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hate to end Above the Fold on such a somber note, but
Travis, get it together is what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
Cool. You want to move to the next?
Time for Guess That Spokesperson.
Let's go with it. This week, it is my turn to give Janelle the clues.
It is.
And I have worked really hard.
Oh, just remember how light I took it on you last week, though. Let's not work too hard.
It's really easy.
Okay. I'll say. Don't let my kind deeds go unnoticed.
I'm not. All right. So the brand is Wells Fargo.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm going to give you the clues for the spokesperson. She
okay.
has a sister.
That boils it down.
Has a sister that is also a former actress. See how many clues there is in that one clue?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
So she is an actress, is what you're saying? You said
that's
also.
One of your yes or no questions.
Okay, no, not yet.
She holds both an Academy Award as well as Golden Globe Award.
Okay.
And in 2019, Times named her as one of the 100 most influential people in the world.
So she is an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And she also has a sister that's an actress. That's former actress.
She was more relevant in like the 80s, 90s.
Wells Fargo. Lost me there. Tell me the last two clues again.
She holds both an Academy Award as well as a Golden Globe Award. And in 2019, Times named her as one of the 100 most influential people in the world.
That year in 2019, mm-hmm. did she do something like relevant, or was this like a all like encompassing list that they put together?
I'm pretty sure she did something in 2019, and I'm also sure it could have been all encompassing, which was not a yes or no question.
It was a yes or no question. I said, did she do something that year? Yes or no?
But there was an attachment to that question. It's fine. I answered it.
It didn't help me. I still don't know.
She also has an Emmy Award.
Does she act in a TV show?
Yes. How many yes or no questions are we up to?
That's two.
Okay.
One more yes or no question. Is the show that she acts in still on the air? Oh, gosh.
No.
No clue, so I'm just gonna take a wild guess. Is it? nobody is coming to mind either for this guess. Is it 2019, 2020, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019, 2019,
It's Regina King.
Oh, damn. She got a sibling. You know what? I was thinking of like 227 era, but I'm like, who got a sibling? Yeah. And like, I couldn't think of anybody.
Yeah. She's, the legend herself, Regina King.
Wow.
It's a newer commercial. There's a couple of spots.
You know, it's funny because today I was thinking, I was like, you know what? I'm not doing none of them vintage ads anymore. How you get somebody is with the new stuff, okay? on. Yes. That was a smart strategy. But okay.
Yeah, and Watchmen was her most recent television show. I'm aware. Of course. but I mean, Emmy Award winner, Global Golden Globe.
Mm-hmm. Who was her sister? Because I was thinking about Rain? HBO shows, and I was like, wait, what went off? And then I thought something took me to 227 for some reason. I was gonna say like Jack A. Harry, but I was like, she wouldn't have got no like times 2019, whatever. And so I was blanking.
Yeah, her name is Raina King.
So you don't even know what
she was in. What's Happening Now?
What's that about?
I don't know. That wasn't it. What's Happening originally? That was the name of the show. What's Happening with what's his name? You didn't watch that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean,
oh, she was in Wake Go to Sleep with Anger with Dan. Is that? Danny Glover. I feel like I've seen like clips from that movie.
Yeah, most of her acting was like in the 80s and 90s, and then she's done some directing. But okay. Yeah, that's a lesser known fact.
All right, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you. Yeah.
I'm coming back.
Are you?
Comeback season, baby.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
Just remember, next week is my turn.
All right. We'll come to that bridge when we get to it.
All right. Well, that wraps up Guess That Spokesperson. Which means that we are in our last segment.
Yes.
Where we give somebody going with your black ads or tell a brand or person that ain't it.
I feel like we're probably on one accord this week.
I think so too. Yeah. You want me to go for it?
Yeah.
Okay. So going with your black ads, that's going to go to Lil Nas X.
Correct.
I mean, I think that, you know, we were kind of hinting previously on other episodes at just like how good of a marketing campaign he was putting on. And I think that this Maury thing kind of just further sealed that deal. So he is our honoree of the week. And then, you know, that ain't it. I mean, clearly that's got to go to Travis Scott and the whole Astroworld of it all. Like all parties involved, Live Nation, you know, Houston Police Department, Fire Department, all of y'all.
I mean, fans were climbing the stage, like, "Yo, stop the show!" Telling the camera crew,
and they were telling them to get
yeah, yeah, yeah. Travis Scott, that ain't it. But yeah.
So that wraps up.
This is the last episode for the year.
Do you want it to be?
I don't know. We'll discuss it.
We can discuss it off mic.
Thank you so much for listening, for rocking with us. As always, follow us on YouTube, Instagram, subscribe, like, comment, do all of the things.
All of the things.
And until next time, am I forgetting anything?
No, follow us. I mean, yeah, follow us on Instagram as well. Go check out the website as well.
Oh yeah, whatyourblackads.com. Some dope content there. I really love our website. I just go on it sometimes. Just like
me too.
Go on the website.
Let me change this font.
Right. Yeah, so go check it out. Janelle has been kind of like the one pushing that.
Squarespace makes it super easy. Wow. Shouldn't have said that. I should make me pay for it.
Exactly. But thank y'all.
Thank you. Bye.
See y'all.
It was so black ass. It was black ass.